Hey, this is Kent here at MindChange, and we will be having a Q&R episode coming up soon. We'd love to respond to your questions in this audience-driven episode, so please send them to podcast@mindchange.com. When you send in your questions, please attach an audio recording of it, stating your name, where you are from, and then clearly asking your question for us. Please also transcribe your question in written form on the email when you send it in. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, we are covering the emotional drivers behind tendinitis. Welcome to the Mind Change Podcast. I'm your host, Heather McKean, speaker and author of the bestseller, Mind Change, and creator of the Mind Change Method. Out of the ashes of my own healing journey, I became an armchair expert in the mind-body connection and the neurobiology of trauma. Using the methods we will discuss on this podcast, we have helped countless people transform issues that previously seemed impossible to overcome. Each week, we'll dive deep into the strategies, insights, and success stories that will inspire and equip you to harness the power of your mind, body, and spirit in order to create the life of your dreams. Together, we are changing the world, one mind at a time. Welcome back to the Mind Change Podcast. I'm your host, Heather McKean. Before we dive in, take a moment to like, subscribe, download, and leave a comment. Your support helps us continue to create meaningful content, reach more people, and ensure we're addressing the topics that matter most to our community. Tendinitis is the inflammation or irritation of a tendon, the thick fibrous cords that attach muscle to bone. It is commonly caused by repetitive motions, overuse, or sudden injury, leading to pain, stiffness, and limited mobility in the affected area. But from a mind-body perspective, tendinitis represents internal conflict, resistance to change, and self-devaluation. The condition often reflects a struggle between the mind and our deeper inner voice, creating tension between what we think we should do and what we truly desire. Metaphysically, tendons act as the bridge between movement and structure, between our muscle-driven actions and the bones that provide our stability. This connective tissue, the tendon, symbolizes the dynamic interaction between our mental and spiritual energies. When tendons are flexible, they reflect our ability to adapt and flow with life's challenges. Conversely, when they become tight or rigid, they mirror an inner resistance and an unwillingness towards change. Tendinitis arises when there's a misalignment between our conscious choices and then our deeper intuitive guidance. If our mind insists on one direction, while our inner truth urges us in another, tension builds, manifesting as inflammation and pain. For example, wrist tendinitis may indicate insecurity surrounding one's ability to create or perform a particular task, while Achilles tendinitis might highlight a fear of stepping forward confidently in life. Pain in the tendons signals a disconnect between our outward actions and our internal wisdom. So when we learn to trust our own path and embrace both flexibility, self-worth, self-value, then we can restore balance in both movement and mindset. So the overarching emotional drivers for developing tendinitis include a deep-seated feeling of being forced into wasting time and energy on the wrong pursuit, or struggles with self-esteem, particularly after perceived failure or loss, and or an inability or unwillingness to acknowledge deeper truths behind resentment or resistance. It could also be a strong sense of injustice, often stemming from critical or condescending remarks from authority figures. So this could have been parents, but also teachers, coaches, employers, or partners. And that would lead to feelings of inadequacy. It could also be a pattern of excessive self-control, self-judgment, or fear of letting go. Also, it could be conflict between deeply ingrained beliefs and intuitive desires to follow different paths. It might also represent internalized criticism and self-doubt, leading to a rigidity in thought and movement. So let's take a look at some of the childhood environments that could possibly shape this emotional landscape and contribute to tendonitis later in life. So one of the childhood environments could be that you grew up in an environment where making mistakes was not tolerated, leading to a deep fear of failure and harsh self-criticism. You may have felt intellectually or physically inadequate, often leading to being compared to others, or the feeling or perception that you weren't good enough, or even, unfortunately, sometimes being told that you weren't good enough. That could obviously be in a sport or any other various thing that you attempted as a child. And because you compared yourself to others or you were compared to others by an authority figure, rather than a child being able to think outside of that and, hey, I'm different than other people, and this may be an adult's problem or issue, children really, with the brain capacity that they have at the time, will internalize that and mean not that they're not good enough at the sport, they aren't good enough, period. Another driver is that you may have experienced situations where your choices or your voice were not valued, making you feel like your desires and your instincts were secondary to external expectations, or that as a child, you maybe weren't able to yet make adult-like decisions. And instead of that bridge being made for you as a child, an adult would have belittled your instincts, your desires, your voice, your value. And again, rather than seeing that, oh, I will evolve and eventually get to the place where I'm able to make these connections, a child would have internalized that and felt like they can't be trusted. They're not good enough, smart enough, whatever, enough to make good choices. And that would have led them to start defaulting their value, their worth, their opinions to those around them. Another driver could be that you might have been raised in a household where discipline, like self-discipline and rigidity were prioritized over creativity and self-expression. So this may have been, can sometimes be present in military households, where if you had a parent in the military, they may have parented more in a military type style. So self-discipline, making sure that things are done in just a way and done repetitively and in sort of a rigid way, over possibly being creative and self-expressive. That may be a driver. Not that all families, military families, are that way, but it can be a common thing. Could also be common in strongly religious homes and households. So really anything that there is a way more of a focus or a complete focus on discipline, rigid, right versus wrong ways of doing things, over the exploration for a child to develop their own wants, desires, values, curiosities, and creativities. All right. Another driver is you may have struggled with feeling unsupported in childhood. And that could have led you to a deep reluctance to trust yourself and your own decisions. Because if you feel unsupported by others, we don't get the idea that we are valuable enough and worthy enough to support ourselves. So you may have also received internalized messages that success comes only through struggle, making relaxation or flexibility feel unsafe or unvaluable or even sometimes wrong. So another driver could be that you may have had to suppress emotions or natural responses to things in order to maintain peace within the home or to meet external expectations. And again, that's one of the basis for that thing that we talked about in the beginning, which is one of the main drivers for tendonitis, which is internal tension. Another possibility is that you may have been expected to always be the responsible one, leading to feelings of excessive pressure or a difficulty relaxing. And obviously that can happen in a lot of different ways. That can happen when parents are unwell physically, unwell mentally. It can happen sometimes in divorce when you've got a single parent raising children and they're having to work an excessive amount to just support the family, and that one of the children, if not multiple children, need to start taking more of an adult role in the family and therefore feel adult responsibilities. So that as in a child body can lead to like hard, fast rules that the body learns of taking on too many things, too many pressures, too many responsibilities. They don't learn to have boundaries around that as a child. And that obviously translates later on into adulthood of being overly responsible and overcommitted, possibly even people pleasing, and that relaxation and anything giving to oneself can feel frivolous or selfish or even dangerous. Another childhood driver is that you may have received inconsistent or unpredictable approval. This would have made you feel like you had to work extra hard to prove your worth. You may have been taught that expressing emotions, particularly frustration or disappointment, was unacceptable, again, leading to that internalized tension. You may have grown up in an environment where adaptability was necessary for survival, causing you to suppress your own needs to meet the external demands. So this can sometimes happen when there is a lot of chaos within the family, if there is instability in the sense of a lot of moving from place to place, country to country, or if it's a situation where a parent is chasing jobs or chasing different things or running away from different things, that as a child, you have to learn to adapt to stay safe in your environment. And that adaptability, the constant need for change or to change one's self to meet what's happening around you, again, creates that internal tension and friction that makes tendons tight rather than nice and fluid and stretchy. It's possible also that you may have been pushed into activities or career paths that didn't align with your natural interests, creating internal resistance and frustration. So this can be in, families where the family does a particular trade, or your parents sacrificed a lot to leave you with more opportunities than they had. And therefore, you're expected to go into a particular career path that will not only support you, but also supports the rest of your family. And so culturally, there can be a lot of pressure in certain areas around this. This could also be if you had a parent that was deeply involved in a particular sport or activity or extracurricular that gave them a lot of value as a child, you may be perceived that you are or legitimately forced into those activities that don't necessarily align with your own gifts, interests. And by doing that and spending so much effort and energy in something that you're not really aligned with, again, tightens us rather than loosens us. Now let's move into exploring how these childhood experiences and environments translate into emotional patterns and symptoms that we find show up in adulthood linked to tendonitis. Okay, so as an adult, you may often feel torn between your obligations and your true desires, leading to frustration. And you may also struggle with feelings of self-doubt, believing that you are never quite good enough, no matter how much you achieve. Also, you may have difficulty adapting to change and tend to cling to rigid, tight thought patterns and behaviors. Another possible adult driver is that you feel obligated to prove your worth through performance or hard work. So these people will push themselves to the point of exhaustion, not just physical exhaustion, but also emotional, mental, spiritual exhaustion. Again, causing more of a tightness than a looseness in one's body and mind. Another possibility is that if you do tendinitis, you may experience resentment deep inside, but you struggle to fully acknowledge it. And if you even do acknowledge it, you struggle to process it. And that leads to holding on and tightness, stiffness in the mind, which translate into tightness and stiffness in the body. You may be someone who frequently feels stuck, as if you are unable to move forward in life, job, relationships, anything important. So it's like you struggle to make meaningful progress in certain areas of your life. And so oftentimes where we're doing tendinitis is giving us a little bit more information into which area we might be struggling to make that process or what we might be holding on to. Another driver is that you struggle with letting go. So that could be letting go of a lot of things. It could be letting go of hurt, past trauma, rigid ideas, ways of thinking. It could also be fearing letting go of control. And so you feel like if you let go of control, and this could be control of the way of your thinking, it could be control of your environment, control of the people around you, control of the way that things are going. To you, the fear of that loss of control equals failure. So if that can be that someone else in your life, a spouse, a child, a coworker, even a parent or a sibling, if something is going on in their life, you will take that personally. So you will often try to be controlling them, giving them advice, telling them what to do. And if they struggle, you also struggle. All right, so to wrap it all up, tendinitis in general is mainly tightness within our mind, a rigidity, a tension, an inflammation in our mind that eventually translates to our body. So what do we do about it? Well, as with all conditions, the mind and body would not create tendinitis if it wasn't serving you in some way. Now, very often, almost always, these things are serving us more from a subconscious or unconscious way. And so it's helpful for us to look at some of the potential secondary gains that we might be getting from tendinitis. So one is an avoidance of failure. So if my movement is painful or limited, then I might unconsciously avoid taking risks or stepping outside of my comfort zone, which in a subconscious way, if I can't step out and do these things, then I can't possibly fail. So, I mean, I can't do it because my body is this, that, or the other. So again, metaphorically representing. Another possible secondary gain is justification for being stagnant. So tendinitis might serve as an excuse to stay in situations that feel safe, known, but are actually not serving you. They're not fulfilling you. And they are keeping you, the fact that you're staying in these things, it could be a job, it could be a program, a pattern, a way of thinking, it could be a relationship. And they are safe because they are known, they are comfortable. But the body, through tendinitis, is trying to tell you otherwise, that the known isn't always actually the safest for us. So the body is trying to show us that there's inflammation, there's pain, there's tightness in some part of our body as a means of asking us to go there and let go of the tightness and whatever's keeping us feeling safe, but probably actually just keeping us stuck. Another secondary gains is it's a means of control. So the rigidity and pain may reflect that internal attempt to keep control or maintain control over everything, like anything that feels unpredictable or overwhelming. So these people, I think maybe we've been this person or we know this person or we are this person where the way that we stay safe is by making sure we know what's going on all the time. And not just that, but we're also trying to stay in control of it. So sometimes people do this through catastrophic thinking or negative outcome thinking, right? So they're trying to think through every possible thing that could go wrong in an effort to stay safe from it going wrong. The problem with that is that what we do in our head is our reality and it translates into our body. You cannot think a negative thought and see a negative scenario play out in your head without creating neurotransmitters and chemicals and hormones in our body. So as you're worst case scenarioing and catastrophic thinking, you're actually creating those scenarios in your body. And tendonitis is trying to show you that. It's trying to ask you to stop putting yourself in all these horrible what-if situations to try to stay safe because your body isn't feeling safe in all of these catastrophic consequences that you're creating in your mind. Okay, another possible driver or secondary gain here for tendonitis could just be a call for support. Physical pain might be providing you with an unconscious way of asking for and receiving attention, care, and support from others when your emotional needs haven't been met. And this can be very common for someone who might have a childhood driver of over-responsibility and one of those people that pushes themselves and is not in touch with their own compass and their own sense of restraint or boundary. And so the body has only one way of trying to get you to rest, relax, release a little bit. And that's to do profound inflammation and tendonitis and tightening up so that you cannot move forward. And that maybe by that point, you'll actually allow someone in to your life to help or to support or to care in some way. All right, another possible secondary gain is it's a way to express unacknowledged resentment. So you might be someone carrying a lot of suppressed anger, frustration, or bitterness from your past or from the things that you're holding on to, even perceptions, sometimes even ancestral or cultural stories. And so the condition serves as a physical manifestation. So where you feel like you can't treat or deal with the things that you're holding on to, that you're bitter about, maybe you're not letting go of, you're not forgiving, or you feel like you can't do anything about, but you're holding the frustration over that, then the tendonitis, it sort of embodies that for you. So metaphorically, as you try to care for the injury or the perceived injury or the inflammation there, it's sort of a proxy way of dealing with all the things that you're not really actually willing to deal with. And so it feels like you're at least doing something. Now, I think we all probably know that you treating this part of you isn't actually dealing with the things that need to be dealt with, but it's something, and the body will take something rather than nothing as far as that goes. So tendonitis is just another way of the body telling us that we need to go deeper in. We need to see what's happening. What are our internal dialogues? What kinds of stories have we been telling ourselves? What narratives do we believe and do we listen to and go by that we may not even be aware of? So that's why we have created the Mind Change Method, because it helps us go inside the mind and access the subconscious programming that helps us develop these conditions. So whether you are doing sessions, you're doing self work, you're coming to the retreats, you're doing the online courses, however you are interacting with the mind change material, it's going to be going after those initial programmings, those initial received or perceived messages that we get from parents, caregivers, schools, communities that translate to us as self-doubt or lack of support. So we need to go in and rewrite and rewire those neuronal messaging, the synapses that hold this information, so that we can allow something different to be there instead. And as always, our goal is, with mind change, to put the power back where it belongs, back inside of you. And that means you will get to be the biggest supporter for you. All right. Thanks for joining us again today on the Mind Change Podcast. And I look forward to seeing you next time. Please make sure to continue to leave us those 5-star reviews and comment if there's a disease, symptom, or ailment you would like to hear covered. If you want to learn more, we encourage you to join the Mind Change community. So a great place to do that would start out with a book club or host a book club. We have book club facilitator guides available on our website. And so you can start a book club right in your backyard. And that's a great way to help provide support in your journey, and as well as support other people in the process. So that is available on our website at mindchange.com, and you can just do /book club for more info. All right, until next time, thanks for joining us on the Mind Change Podcast, where we are changing the world one mind at a time. Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Mind Change Podcast. We hope that you found the insights and inspiration shared today valuable in your own journey of personal growth. Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, or if you're watching us on YouTube, please like and follow us there. And we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star rating and review. It has measurable impact on how well we're able to reach others and continue to produce more free content to share. But mostly, thank you for taking this time as an opportunity to invest in yourself. Until next time, let's keep changing the world one mind at a time.